about cultural and linguistic dimensions and barriers to healthcare. And Dr. Elma Moses will be speaking also about education and responding to some of yesterday's presentations. So, Dr. Elma Moses.
Hello, Wajak Maswa. I'll go Jayan go and scum gom so and Egyptian Dumguyan or Jayimianot. I go man and I go on a meek and go mani, I scud madzang, we national meek and we in the mule mad soon, Gaishin Kadet. I'll go and watch you him, he good gom chedu, doesn't cheer you, the square you him don't at the hide there, the day I wish yet, in the day I there. Nede ha isimeu sitia we o esku ye moda idin o di mo no avio nishtem yendi de che yo itske it te do ayo miob matsio no ya imutko avio ne yo esim do yo di mo no tayo magmana yo idosht ma jesu ha yo je ji dosht ma gutsne yo o mag je yemiano ta jishte ana ai o ndi mo Uwe imi ano taingi dao daizit. Ga god sam nishu minu gush che Tse si tukud njid Was nizu da muhte do njid nishi yu Ma god nuchu gud tumbud na da tanda uid te do Da ma guab mekushtu chiu chitstu teut. So I just said my name is Elma Moses. And I spoke the Cree language, which is my first language. And actually, I'm speaking in my third language, which is English, just to show you that, you know, although we speak a lot about the second languages, many of us are speakers of the indigenous language. And the people who are more speakers of the indigenous language are the elders, and they're the ones that many of them are very vulnerable population within the Cree communities, because that's the community I am from. Actually, my training is more in the education at the high school level, However, I do have a degree in English, and that's why I speak English as a third language. And I also have a degree in Native Studies and Anthropology. And my MA is in second language education here at McGill. And for now, I work in the my research centers around the residential school experience and the transmission of the oral stories. Anyways, but what I was asked to talk about is more the healthcare issues. So in terms of the Cree of the Eastern James Bay, which is situated on the Quebec side, some of the Cree concepts that we have within our concept of health is more in terms of the Miyup Matsun that we call, which is a holistic view of health, and the Miyup Matsun is like means living a great life, and it also means living a healthy life. And that concept it encompasses the psychological, the emotional, the spiritual, the socio-cultural wellness, and it also includes the political, the economic factors in there. And in the traditional culture I have here the dwellings that we used to live, which is the Mijuap, the teepee, and the in the background you see the what we call Shaptuan, which is the longhouse. So this is within the traditional culture. These are some of the dwellings that we lived in, two types, but there are other types that we live in. There are the Medutsan Gomuk, which is more like the Shaptuan type of. So this is when I, as a child, that's how we. These were the dwellings that we saw most often. And it was only recently, in the 1950s, that the Crees, as Crees, we started moving in the in these type of housing. That, so we were brought, this is the community of Fort George Island, which is now abandoned, and they were relocated in the 1980s to Tsisasibi. Just to show you that in the 1950s, like I said, there was the creation of settlements and the communities, and you have a Western style, and as part of it, there was a Western style or view of health came into our worldview at the same time. And there was a move away from more of our nomadic way of life into more of a sedentary type of life. So as part of those concepts that were in the traditional culture, more of the hunting, trapping, and fishing type of lifestyle that we had, some of the concepts that we had was more, that was very important, was the holistic view of health and the interconnectedness of everything, which is really a totally different paradigm from within the quantitative or mixed method research, where it's more compatible is within the qualitative and the ethnographic type of studies. So, in terms of our move away from our traditional lifestyle, for some of us, there's a disconnect between the generations. There's a disconnect between our lifestyle. But this thing has been happening since the since we signed the James Bay. There is a rapid change in our societies, a move away from the traditional, and it's a gradual thing. But it's been very accelerated, just as the Sheila Watt Klutzi mentioned in her talk when she spoke about the environment and on March Thursday, and she talked about the lifestyle of the Inuit, that there is a, in terms of their environment, that they were more of a hunting and trapping society, but with now it's been. And like they said, they had resilience, and it's a culture that's been there for thousands of years. And now they're in terms of the land and in terms of the environment, there are changes happening there. So what it means is that the resilience is slowly eroded. And the cultural dimension and views of health are displaced and replaced by this Western style of health approaches, and a move away from the hunting trapping to a community-based lifestyle, which is a move away from the access to food that comes from the land. The food that comes from the land is very nutritious foods, and some of the consequences of this is that there's a among my community of East Maine, there's a high level of diabetes within the people. And also there's when I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, there was in the population of 300, you could count the number of people who were obese or had diabetes. But now it's, you know, you look around, you see a large number of the population has diabetes or other types of health problems. And however, in terms of there's a minority of the families that still continue that way of life, and one of them is my extended family, like my uncles. And here you can see them, that they're going on the land and they're teaching the young generation, the grandchildren and the great grandchildren, how to fish and how to hunt beaver or other animals, and they teach them at the same time how to prepare and to cook. These are all life skills. And and in terms of the food security, what Sheila Watt Klutzi is, she has done work in the United Nations. And in terms of the definition that they use there, is that the food security is a situation that exists when people at all times have physical, economic access to sufficient, safe, and nutritious food that meets their dietary needs. So in terms of the, and when we talk about the foods, we need to have access to fish, to animals, and to berries, and to prepare it the way we had prepared them. And unfortunately, some of it, and like I said, this is a picture of my uncle there, showing them passing on the traditional skills to one of his grandchildren, and he also was a retired Cree culture teacher. So within the education with the Cree, there's our components that we use. We teach at the high school, elementary and high school level, Cree culture, and within my community, there are cultural events that we teach our children, like bringing them on the land. We have a cultural camp where they learn how to do the practice the cultural skills. All these have an impact on the healthy living, have health issues, because the food up north is very, very expensive. Like, for example, the price of lactose-free milk is around $4 to $5 here. Up north, it could be up to $10. So just to give you an example, when we talk about the food up north, and in terms of the Western style of foods, there's a lot of fast food that comes into our diet, unfortunately. And I can remember that when poutine was introduced to my community, which is around the mid-80s, I'm not a poutine eater, but, other people seem to like it. So in terms of the traditional lifestyles that we have is in terms of when you practice the traditional skills, you're also doing physical activity. So in terms of going, putting your net there, you're also doing physical work at the same time. And so when you go on the land, this is the East Main River looking towards the islands. And that's during the summertime. It is a very important, fish is a very important part of our diet in the summertime, but also all year long. But within the islands, it's very, that's how I grew up in the summer when I was not in the Indian residential school, was we went fishing and we smoked the fish and brought it to our community. So all this has, with the development, it has an impact on the rivers. And as you can see, when I was a small child on the rivers, now you don't see anything there. It's just the river. But what you would see in the 70s or up to 1982 was you would see fishnets there, and our culture was very much geared toward the river, the East Main River. Right now, there's nothing there, and which is it has a health, and so instead of eating fish, we eat poutine, in a way. So then you have to go to the clinic and say, I'm not feeling too well. How long am I speaking? Okay. All right. So I'm going to move now to the research that's been talked about, especially in the second language, because for the Cree, for many of us, especially the elders, when they have to go to healthcare, it kind of disappeared my stuff. When they describe the health, they only do it in their Cree language, and they need to have a translator to translate what they have. So in the studies you were mentioning about the effects and the meaning of the health terms. So since Cree and the in English and French are very different languages, when we train the healthcare providers. Like, say, for example, in terms of speech event, we also, you're not only doing the speech event on how to talk about pain and all that, but the Crees have a different way of talking, and that needs to be, the healthcare providers need to be trained too, how the Crees, for example, express pain, and how do they inform their loved ones when the loved one is terminally ill, and how do you announce it? Because we have cultural protocols, and we have a designated person within our community that visits the people to announce to them. However, it's totally disconnected from our healthcare services. So I'm just going to say that in terms of the healthcare professions, we need to include the Crees, train them to be healthcare providers, but also there's a need when we train them, there needs to be, within the curriculum, there needs to be cultural aspects, culturally appropriate elements in it, and that are designed by the Cree themselves, because they know what is culturally appropriate, and there are Crees that are trained to develop curriculum to design those things. And I also want to say that as part of my, I do work as a guest speaker for the School of Health, Family of, how do you say it? Now I'm getting mixed up with my languages. School of Family Medicine, I do a module on the impacts of the residential schools and how to show the medical students, the fourth-year ones, how to be empathetic to the patients. So this is a right step, and I would like to see more initiatives like that going in that direction. So thank you, and I'm going to ask for a 2 minute of silence. This has to do with there's a youth Nishiyu Walkers, a group of youth that left Wabmekshtu in January. I think it's second week of January they left. And then they're walking about 1,800 kilometers, and they left from Wabmekshtu, which is on the Hudson Bay, and they're walking. They're supposed to arrive today to the Parliament Hill. So this message is from my friend Mary Shem, who is from the community of Wabmekshtu. She asked me to say the reason why we say 2 minutes. 1 minute is for the women, and the other minute is for the men. Because in terms of the holistic view, both men and women are equally important within the traditional view of the Cree. So I'm going to ask for 2 minutes of silence. Thank you. Biguich, merci beaucoup. Thank you. That's for the Nishiyu Walkers.
Thank you very much.